Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Stop being stupid, people.
All bets are off.
You all suck.
I'm Morenci Unfiltered.
Scumbags! Get on the grid, sports grid. I am Gabriel Morenci. This is Morenci Unfiltered, the podcast. Let's do this thing as we're now into day eight of isolation. Self-isolation. Like, I don't, I feel well. I hope you do, wherever you're tuning in right now to us. It's been a crazy ass week. It's been a crazy day. We're wrapping up a week here. We're doing our best to provide as much content as we can. And I got to tell you, man, it's been pretty challenging from it's like planes, trains, and automobiles, man. Like, you name a format, and I pretty much worked with it this week. Like, podcast, TV, Skype, video, green screens, like, you name it, man. Like, you know, listen, guys, I'm a host, all right? I just sit here. I've just got a big mouth. I'm a host. I'm not a producer. I'm not a technician. But in this day and age, you pretty much have to be. Like, honestly, like, I went to, people talk about going to universities and all that type of crap and whatever. But I went to a radio and TV school, crash course. It wasn't a year. It was like 6 to 8 months or something like that. It was about 8 months, I think. 7 months, six, seven, and 7 months. And I saw the ad in the back of the newspaper, Robert Viro, the Montreal Radio and TV School. And it was pretty much just like a crash course in the industry. And I remember asking him at the time, I said, you know, I'm kind of old for this. I was 30 years old. I was like, I'm kind of old to get into this business, aren't I? He goes, no, you're not old. You've got experience. You actually know what you're talking about a bit, compared to everyone else. And he started laughing. And, you know, I learned a lot from the guy in a short, a short time. But everything we've learned from him is like, you know, it's funny, like, you know, he taught people how to record something and how to save it, how to download the file and how to cut it and the audio. And a lot of the stuff, the sound waves are kind of the same, but it's completely different, man. Like, I'm old enough. I was around. I did a radio show. There was one computer. There was one computer, guys, in the entire station. And it wasn't in the radio booth. And it was slow as hell. There was one computer. But there was a printer, so you could sort of print things. You could print things, and you know, you could sort of look at it after. But I didn't even bother. I used to bring a newspaper in, type thing, you know, look at standings or whatever. So I'm old school. I do newspapers, and you know, I remember, like, basically, you know, it'd be a microphone and a producer, and like, you'd be screwed without the producer. Like, I remember, like, I'd have no idea. And, you know what I mean? I'd be like, oh, I'm screwed. The producer's not here. We can't get on the air. Nowadays, man, you better know how to do everything yourself. Because that's the way this business is. And now even, it's challenging. You see, I mean, Stephen Colbert is doing a show from his freaking bathtub, guys. Right? And I think, to be honest, Sports Grid's had a pretty high standard. Like, I'll be honest, it was up to me. I just put everyone on Skype and go, like, live and stuff. But, you know, there's a higher standard. They've got programming. They've got deals with providers and stuff. I totally get it. But it's a bitch, man, for lack of a better word. Like, if people think that I'm just sitting around at home all day, man, you're sorely freaking mistaken. I'll tell you. My phone rings 99 times a day. I never answer my phone, but now I have to because it's important. There's like a freaking pandemic going on, and like, there's business stuff, and so my phone is going off all day. I'm taping shows all day. I've got technical issues I'm dealing with all day. It's pretty frustrating. And I haven't drank in a couple of weeks. And, you know, it's crossed my mind right now. I'm like, oh, yeah, man. Like after this, I got to go get a couple of drinks. I think I'm going to hold off. I'll hold off till Saturday, if there is a Saturday. So right now they just declared a mandatory must stay in. You know, it went, well, I don't know, man. I don't know. What the hell does that mean? Everyone's already in already. Everything's already closed already. Now, I was in Manhattan on Friday morning, and the streets are empty. It's a ghost town. There's nothing left but the hustlers and the homeless. Like, where are they going to go? You know what I mean? Like, you want, that's the whole thing. And I've seen Governor Cuomo on TV quite a bit, and hopefully he's not full of it like most, like every politician is. And he's saying, no, no, there's not going to be like a martial law or anything like that, because he basically stated, he's like, what about homeless people? And he brought that up. He goes, what about people like leaving work? And he goes, what, are you going to stop everybody? And like he sort of knew, and he also said it would just lead to anger amongst people, which it will. Now, I don't really know what it means. Like, I know in New Jersey, now they have a new mandatory must stay at home. Yet, I'll tell you what, I'm looking out my window right now, and there's a ton of people walking around. Now, they're not walking around in a dangerous way, but I see joggers, and it's a beautiful day. Spring is here. And you know, it's too bad. It sucks, doesn't it? Yeah, spring's here. Yay, spring's here. You know, it doesn't have that spring feel, especially without March Madness. So March Madness would be started right now, would be in a March Madness. Right now, actually, I'd be in Atlantic City. As I speak, as I do this podcast right now, I should be in Atlantic City. I would be arriving. I would have checked in at like 3 o'clock. So, you know, I would have done a couple of shows, the morning show. But I was going to Atlantic City with a beautiful girl. I was very looking forward to it. And that feels like it was like, man, like 10 years ago now. It was last Wednesday that Rudy Gobert was pulled off the court and the NBA got shut down. That was the beginning of it in North America. So that's pretty much a barometer. So, and then it was the next day that March Madness and college basketball played a bit. And Thursday was sort of the real shutdown. So let's call it 9 days. But it's really 8 days of reality. It's only been 5 days. Monday, the lockdown began. So, you know, we're trying to stay positive. Beautiful weather out. And I bring this up. And listen, I'm not a medical expert. And I don't have to tell you that, all right? I hate when people, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not like, yeah, we know you're not. So you all know. You all know I'm not. But I like to think if you're tuning into this show, then you also, you know I'm not an idiot. So I do watch a lot of news and I know how to sift through what's real. And like I read stuff from real people and scientists, etc. So it's important to stay positive. And people are going to start snapping. And it's crazy because, you know, there's a lot of comparisons to World War II with this and, you know, sacrifices that are made and stuff. Like, what's our sacrifice? Our sacrifice, we have to sit on our ass and watch TV all day. Now, I'm not doing that. You know that when there was a quarantine in Great Britain years ago in Shakespeare, he actually wrote, like, one of his big, like, famous hits, plays, whatever. Yeah, Shakespeare's a scam, like everything. Everyone's a fraud. Shakespeare's a fraud. He didn't even write anything. It was actually a woman. Shakespeare is a woman, but that's a podcast, and it's another right. But you know, so staying in is one thing, and I wouldn't mind going to a bar right now and sitting at the end of a bar and getting drunk and feeling sorry for myself. But it's not the smart thing to do to be around people. But at the same point in time, like I've seen a lot of doctors talk about it this week and psychiatrists. About it doesn't mean sitting in the dark and being depressed. I'm not a workout guy. Maybe I'll get into it. I'm not a workout guy, as you know. But you know, they're talking about like exercise, like go for a jog. You can go for a jog. You know, go for a walk. Go sit in the sun. Like, don't like sort of isolate yourself and sit in the dark and get depressed and think, oh, I can't go outside. I'm going to die. And they told you to don't go out anyways. When they say don't go out, they're meaning like don't go out with 20 people and start, You know, don't go to a house party. That's what they mean. But it's unfortunate, and this is what it angers me. Like when you see these jackass kids in Florida, like I'm doing all the right things. I had someone like trolling me on Twitter today because I took a picture on 8th Avenue. It's an empty street, buddy. You know what I mean? I'm not putting anyone in danger. And trust me, if I was, the cops that were standing right next to me would have said something. There were actually a few stores open still, a few restaurants open. I think things are going to start to close more, but you know, a big key, like I was saying, isn't to like self-isolate yourself from society, right? Like those people in Europe with the balcony parties and stuff, they're smart. You know, they're at least getting through it. They're jamming on the balcony. They're drinking wine. You know, they're living their lives, but they're on the balconies, right? But at least they're keeping their distance. That's the whole thing. Like nobody ever said stop living your life, right? Like nobody ever said stop like living your life. People, like, you just can't be within 6 feet of people. Like, you know, you don't want to spread this virus. That's the thing. So we all get back to normalcy. Now, what is normalcy going to be? I don't know, man. Right? I mean, we look at things from a sports perspective. That's how we make our money. This is the business that we're in. We're also human, so it's a real world component to this. As far as sports, I think we're looking at July now. Like, there is a light at the end of the tunnel with this. Like, Ann Coulter tweeted today, we need to know a date when this is going to end. Like, shut up. There's no date. This isn't a movie. Like, we're not shooting the bad guy here, right? There's no date. But there is hope and, you know, light at the end of this tunnel. When you look at South Korea, and look, South Korea is a good example. Their basketball league will be starting again this weekend. Now, they don't have any fans at the games, but their league was only off for 4 weeks. They were off for like 4 or 5 weeks, their league. I think it's been officially a little more than 4 weeks. And they're opening up this weekend. So there shows that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Now, we should know, South Korea has done a much better job. They did a great job in fighting it right away. Right? They like, put it this way, South Korea and the United States and Canada had its first cases on the same day. South Korea had drive-through testing. They had doctors everywhere on the street in rubber suits. Like, South Korea basically isolated people that were sick. They figured it out right away, and they did a great job mitigating it. We, on the other hand, in North America, you know, it'll never happen here, and we haven't mitigated anything. You see people arguing about masks still, right? Like, we haven't mitigated anything. So it's not going to be 30 days here, as you know. I mean, the arenas are closed until, you know, like May. Adam Silver said earlier in the week that best case scenario, early July. And the NBA is into the reality right now of like, they're going to have to cancel the regular season, which I already predicted that. They're not playing another 17, 18 stupid, useless games right now. The playoff standings aren't even close anyways. No one's getting screwed. It is what it is. You go right into the playoffs. I would have a 5-game series, best of 5 instead of 7 in the first round. It used to be that way anyways. It leads to exciting basketball too. Now, me and Cam talked about this on Game Time Decisions that you guys will see on Pluto and YouTube and Zumo and everything once it's posted. Guys in the pit, they're in the pits of their homes doing the best they can to get everything posted. You won't hear us ripping anyone right now, although I probably would if we were live. I probably would. Come on, Yang. But we're looking at July, and they're going to have to shorten it. The playoffs could take forever. Hockey is really interesting. You know, like, the NBA playoffs are fast. Like, the NBA playoffs are drawn out, but they're only drawn out because the NBA draws them out. Right? Like, the NBA will have LeBron James play on Tuesday, and then he won't play again until Sunday. Like, basically, star teams and stars only play twice a week in the playoffs in the NBA, and it's freaking ridiculous. It's the most – I love the NBA, but it's the most annoying thing about that league. And it's so annoying. and they draw it out. It's like 3 weeks for a playoff series sometimes, 17 days, man, right? But the thing is, the NBA, the first round is usually fast. Like, it could be fast if they wanted it to be fast. You know what I mean? Like, the Milwaukee Bucks last year swept the Pistons. They smoked them by 40, like, every game. They smoked them in four games. The Toronto Raptors lost the first game to the Orlando Magic in the playoffs, and then they won four straight. That won five. You know what I mean? Like, if you look at the, you know, you look at the NBA playoffs, there's not a lot of upsets in the first round. And, you know, a five-game series to make it more entertaining, actually, it gives the underdog a better chance. Like, if you look, like, one of the bigger upsets in modern memory was the Denver. Denver Nuggets beat the Seattle Supersonics, and it was a five-game series. The Nuggets had a big upset. I think that was a five-game series. Like, five-game series lead to more drama. And we talked about that on Game Time Decisions as well with baseball. Guys, baseball, the baseball season is probably only going to be half a season. Like, literally 81 games type thing. They have a contingency plan now with baseball that they've accepted that, yeah, it looks like 100 games isn't even going to happen, that we could play like half the season. They play half the season. I got to tell you, man, suddenly all the underdogs come into play. Like I said, I don't want to give away Game Time Decisions. We talk about it, but it's just mathematics. You don't have to be an MIT math major to figure it out. That, like, put it this way, the Dodgers, in a 162-game schedule, the Dodgers have a 98% chance of making the playoffs. They have a 98% chance of making the playoffs in a 162-game schedule, the Dodgers. It's freaking high. I'm surprised it's that high, but it is. That's what it is. In an 81-game schedule, the Dodgers have a 70% chance of making the playoffs. The Kansas City Royals have a 0.2 chance of winning the World Series, all right? In an 81-game season, their odds go up to 14%. It's amazing. Like, it really is amazing what a shortened season does. And I'm telling you, now suddenly, like, so I'm not, you, doesn't mean the Detroit Tigers are winning the World Series, all right? The Marlins aren't going to win the World Series. Yet, suddenly, like, the Toronto Blue Jays are a perfect example. The Blue Jays are an average team, you know, but they have a lot of power. They have a lot of young dudes. They improve their pitching. In an 81-game season, the Blue Jays could get hot. You know what I mean? Like, the New York Yankees spend all this money. What if Gerrit Cole gets hurt and it's a three-month season? 81 games is 3 months. Let's say July, August, September. And the thing is, they don't have a choice. Baseball, you can't play in the winter. Unless they did on a neutral field somewhere, and they might even have to start creating ideas like that. You know, if they pushed it back, they would have to play the World Series on a neutral field somewhere where it's warm weather type thing, right? But baseball's plan is to go for a 100-game schedule and an 81-game. They don't have anything less than 81. That's sort of their cutoff, like the All-Star break type thing, in which they don't know what they're going to do. They're taking it sort of day by day. But I'm just saying, like, if you're the Yankees, you spend $350 million on Cole, you spend all this money. What if Cole gets hurt for 3 weeks? What if Aaron Judge gets hurt again and he's not ready, and then Stanton strikes out all the time, and the Yankees are cold for a month? The next thing you know, they're 8 games out of first place. And you know what? There's only 48 games left, guys, so you're screwed. Like, right? Crazy, for lack of a better term, crazy shit can happen in that schedule. Get on the grid.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table. with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Get on the grid, sports grid. I am Morency. This is Morency Unfiltered. We appreciate you joining us. So we've got a unique situation going on right now. We're taping a podcast in front of a live audience, so to speak. Hey, we're doing new things all the time. And I mentioned it earlier in the program. You name it, man. I've tried. We've done like a million different video formats, audio formats, and whatever it takes to get the content out there in these difficult times. Stay safe. Wear gloves. Mask isn't necessary. Dr. Morency says mask isn't necessary, but I'm not a doctor, as I stated earlier. But I also stated, beautiful day out. Open the windows, get some sunshine in, go for a walk. You can go outside when you go to the store. You know, you said, it's not martial law, guys. You know, hopefully it doesn't get to that. Those jackasses in Florida, though, they're ruining it for everybody, to be honest. I've been very, like, responsible throughout this over the last week, and those dumbasses in Florida haven't been. It's a disgrace, a pure disgrace. But a lot of people are online right now. As you notice, maybe your internet service is a little bit slower. Netflix has been told to slow things down in Europe. I'm sure that'll happen in North America soon as well. But people spend a lot of time on Twitter, and a lot of garbage on Twitter. So I wanted to share. We talked about staying positive. I want to share a couple of cool Twitter accounts right now. And, you know, Twitter accounts that are interesting, that, you know, there's something to it, actually, right? Not just, you know, political finger pointing and, you know, fake outrage of the day, you know, something that you can get something out of. And I'd say right at the top, we got to go with our main man, Rex Chapman. And Rex Chapman, people don't realize, I think Rex Chapman is not the basketball player Rex Chapman. It's just like a Twitter account, sort of like a parody or something like that. But no, it's actually Rex Chapman. And, you know, older people tuning in right now remember Rex Chapman. The guy was an assassin, a sharpshooter at Kentucky, drafted 8th overall by the Charlotte Hornets, played like 12 years in the NBA. And, you know, wasn't a star in the NBA, but he was one of the better three-point shooters over the years. Great three-point shooter. And he was a basketball executive after with the Phoenix Suns and the Denver Nuggets. He was an executive, and he worked in Phoenix. He was good on the Phoenix Suns. He was popular in the Phoenix area, and he was actually doing Grand Canyon basketball of all teams. And but the thing is, he was addicted to painkillers, and he got arrested. He stole like some stuff from an Apple store. He got arrested. He didn't go to jail. He got put on probation. And it was crazy. He was all pudgy and fat and stuff because of the pills. And now he looks great. He's all tanned and in great shape. And he's got like it's probably my favorite. It's right up there for Twitter follows. You know, it's a nice mix between basketball. He's got the blocker charge thing that was popular. You know, basically blocker charge. So like a kid, you know, dog runs over a kid. Whose fault is it? Blocker charge. You know, he's got cool stuff like that. But he's got like cool basketball videos up too. And he's into the human interest stuff. You know, so he's got like a father and daughter. And the daughter just caught her first fish. You know, he's got a lot of like, you know, high school basketball, you know, the kid with autism hits the shot, you know, at the end of the game, gets some playing time. He's very positive. You know, and his line is, this is the content that I'm here for. But, you know, he's got like the human interest stuff, but like, he's got like this chick in a bikini tumbling, like type blah. Like, you know, he's got some funny stuff, but he's got like the heart tugging stuff. Great, great follow. Nice guy. He's open about his past addiction and, you know, where he is now in his life. And you know, as you see, anyone that follows, and I know a lot of people tuning in right now would know him already. You see, everyone loves Rex Chapman. So Rex Chapman, definitely one of the better Twitter follows. And he follows me, actually, as well. Nice guy. Like I said, I'd like to get him on the show sometime. Super Sports 70s does not follow me. Now, it's actually Super 70 Sports on Twitter. At Super 70s, so Super and then the number 70 and then a small s and then Sports. And he's got a bunch of different sort of names and Twitter accounts, this guy. I think he runs the sports paper one and Super 70 Sports, whatever. But, yeah, so it's Super 70 Sports. Whatever, you punch it in, you'll find it on Twitter. Super 70 Sports. This really is one of my favorite ones because I'm a big 70s and 80s sports guy and pop culture guy. So looking at his Twitter right now, he's got like a video gif of Red Fox delivering Colt 45 and a beer commercial in the snow. And he's got a commercial from the 70s. Great stuff. He's got, this is cool. Shelter in Place sounds amazing. And it's a picture of Three's Company, Jack, Janet, and Chrissy. He's got a picture here of like RoboCop with Nixon. RoboCop's running the WWF in 1988 with Nixon as his manager, is criminally underrated. Like he's a comedian. So he's got like great 70s and 80s shots and 60 whatever and stuff. But he's got like great, he's got great one-liners above it. Great Twitter follow. Super 70 Sports. Super 70 Sports. Also, also one of my favorite Twitter follows. Rex Chapman, Super 70 Sports. And here's one that I just discovered the other day, and for shame on me, because I've known that he's a deep, I know he's a deep dude, right? And I thought I was following them. I don't know, you know what I mean? Sometimes on Twitter that happens, though. Sometimes people think I unfollowed them. Some people I do unfollow, but sometimes it's happened to me where I'm like, how come I can't send this guy a man? I'm like, I'm not following him. What do you mean I'm not following him? Like, I'm like, yeah, I'm following him. And, you know, I don't know. Twitter sometimes unfollows once in a while. It doesn't happen all the time, but, like, I could have sworn I was following Spencer Dinwiddie already. But Spencer Dinwiddie's Twitter is freaking lit. It's lit. So he tweets here, beware those that crave power. And he's very, very active about the coronavirus on Twitter right now. Spencer Dinwiddie. So now we've got senators insider trading. I'm completely and utterly taken aback. I mean, who would have thought that humans could display such greed? I thought they put their money for campaigns so they didn't owe any favors and were placed in a mutual fund so they couldn't cherry pick stocks or sectors with the knowledge that they attain every day on Capitol Hill. I've never been so shocked in my life. Sarcasm. You know what I mean? Like Spencer, he gets real here. Now, he was going off on the market the other night. He was talking about like the checks that are going to be sent out. And people were like, hey, you're a basketball player. You should shut up. So he goes, once again, I'm not an expert. But what I'm saying is why not simplify the process? Instead of all the fancy footwork, tax limiting taxes that we do, he's pissed off that basically Amazon and Apple don't pay anything and he pays 50% of his NBA salary. I don't see why I get hit for 50% when Amazon gets hit for zero. Not sure how much money the government makes from the lowest tax bracket. I'm sure you're all going to tell me, but I venture to guess it's far less than $100 billion. The companies whose effective tax rate is zero. Talk about stimulating the economy. Cash stays hands in the hardest working Americans. So as you can see, like he's on top of he's on top of social issues, and he's also got like some good basketball stuff. Like Dinwiddie gets into basketball debates with people about past players. He talks about the stock market. he talks about shoes. He's very interactive with his fans. Like he responds. Like not a lot of NBA players will respond. He responds to people quite a bit. And negative like tweets too. Like he responds to people that are calling him out. And very good Twitter follow. I recommend him. Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal, not as deep as Spencer Dinwiddie, but a fun Twitter follow. Bradley Beal tweets a lot about stuff, and Bradley Beal is an Atlanta Falcon fan. He's been tweeting about the Falcons, but it's funny, like fans were talking about the Falcons and Bradley Beal jumped in and said, oh yeah, yeah, let's get this guy and that guy. And people are like, damn, that's Bradley Beal. It's pretty cool. Bradley Beal on Twitter talking NFL football. From what I understand, I don't do it. I don't have Twitch and the video games and all that stuff. But from what I understand, a lot of NBA guys are on video right now, and people can see them play. Like they're answering questions from people and stuff on video games. They're playing video games, answering people's questions and stuff. Adam Silver was talking about a charity basketball game. He said earlier in the week, he told Rachel Nichols he thinks that they're going to do it like soon, like maybe like in 3 weeks or a month or something, that they're working on it now, that they can get enough guys to have one game. Yeah, the money would go to charity. They'll raise money for charity. They're going to put it on TV. And basically, like, they would test the players first and they would isolate the players, right? You can pull that off. That's why the UFC and, you know, Cage Warriors went on and MMA can go on a bit. Because in certain instances, you can isolate and pull it off. Now, WrestleMania is intriguing to me because WrestleMania is around the corner and WrestleMania is massive, man. Like I said, this coronavirus isn't good for anybody. You guys know me, man. Oh, you know, I've gotten into conspiracies and stuff, but about like, who's this good for, this one? When I see like dumbasses about conspiracy this and that with this, oh, they want to do this for that, and oh, they're happy, and no one's happy. You think Vince McMahon is happy that WrestleMania is, you know, just took a hit that it did? You think like Wall Street's happy that they're closed? No one's happy, right? Like, no one's happy about this. It's just a new reality. Everything will, you know. And one thing I did agree with Trump, you know, whatever, but I did agree with him. And he did say that, you know, the economy will be back and one day it'll be booming again. And, you know, once people know that everything's all right, everything's going to be great. But, you know, we've got to get through this. But WrestleMania is going forward. No fans, obviously. You know, even the state, even Vince knows, because, you know, the state of Florida would do it. No fans. So WrestleMania is going on, no fans. Pay-per-view is big, right? Now, if you notice, the wrestling, the All Elite Wrestling the other day was very good. It was very good without any fans. Like, they really pulled it off. Like, the production was good. The camera angles were cool. They did a good job. They put, like, other wrestlers in the stands. They sort of, like, they made something of it. And I watched WWE a bit just out of curiosity to see without fans, and it didn't work. Like, John Cena without fans sucked. Even Stone Cold, who I love, the legend, obviously. Even Stone Cold, it didn't really fully work without the fans. The All Elite, it actually did. But the thing is, I think All Elite is more wrestling. That's why. It's actually sort of more wrestling. The WWE is just so much frills. When you take the frills away, it exposes it. And so WrestleMania is going to be a challenge for that. So even if they're doing WrestleMania in their performance center, and I'm thinking about this, you can't have more than 50 people. Like, they've been given, they can have. So I don't know how you do WrestleMania like that. Like, there's so many people involved. So it'll be interesting. Like, WrestleMania without the fireworks and without the big stadium and the grid. And like, that's what's cool. Like, one of the things people love about WrestleMania the most is the stage, right? Like, oh, what's the stage design this year, right? That's why they have it in these massive stadiums. Last year, people were underwhelmed, man, with the New York one. People were like, that sucks. People didn't like the stage last year. So it'll be I'm curious to see. Like, they can't just do like the Ultimate Fighter and have the lights on. You know what I mean? Bright lights. Like, they're going to have to make a show of it. Now, I trust Vince McMahon. And I trust the WWE to come up. I think it'll look really cool. But I don't know if their wrestlers can pull it off. Like I said, like, I watch both companies and the All Elite stuff. And I'm not a wrestling mark, really. I'm a wrestling fan, like, but more old school. Like, I don't watch, like, Monday Night Raw now. I don't watch All Elite Wrestling live or anything like that. But there's nothing on now. So the other night I watched All Elite. It was on at 2 a.m. type thing, the replay. And I enjoyed it, actually. I was like, man, yeah, these guys really are good. It was cool. Like, it was good wrestling. They didn't have stupid storylines like the WWE does. You know, they had, like, crazy wrestling storylines. You know what I mean? It was the talent is good. It's like, it's not for, you know, the WWE is just so watered down and soap opera. It's a soap opera. Like, they've had the same wrestlers going against each other for the last 5-7 years, these guys. Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins. It's like, and Becky the Man. It's like the same people and the same feuds. They milked the feuds out forever. But All Elite pulled it off. So, but we've got to get out of here because, but it's good we're getting out of here. We've been taping Game Time Decisions, and it's been going well. It looks good. These green screens are, man, magical. We've come a long way, I got to tell you, since CFMB in 2002. But we had an issue with the video with segment 3 of the TV show, and I was really raging about it. But I realized, you know what? We can use it on the podcast, and it's some good stuff with me and Cam, in which we answer Twitter questions. So Cam Stewart joins us next. Morency Unfiltered, get on the grid.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get on the grid, Sports Grid. I am Morency. We're throwing it down with the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. We've had a lot of fun talking NFL football. And, you know, we have a lot more, actually. Look, we identified a couple of cool props for you already as far as the NFL draft. Is concerned. We're going to have a couple of more. I've already identified a couple of others, wide receivers, running backs, and everything else in between. And listen, Lacey, you have to wait, but we all need patience right now in the gambling world. And I'm with you, Cam. I saw these people last night on Twitter. They're betting on Madden simulation stuff. Listen, I bet on virtual sports on Bet365 before, virtual soccer. It's like playing virtual blackjack or something. But I'm not betting on, like, on video games, people. I'd rather just find a couple of spots a week. There's games in Australia. There's a soccer game here, a basketball game there.
There's hockey in Russia. There are spots still. And if you're patient, you know, you can find them. But I thought it'd be cool, since a lot of people, and shout out to our boy Bob. Stay safe, Bob. Bob works in a senior home in Vermont.
Oh, no, yeah.
And he's on the front line. He really is. Hero showing up to work still. But stay safe, Bob, out there. But we miss you guys. We miss communicating with you via the chat. And we miss Capper's Corner everybody over at the book. But we thought it'd be cool to take some of your questions on Twitter. We can't get to them all, but we're going to try to blast through as many as we can right now. Ryan Summers, big Dodger fan, Ryan Summers sends a tweet asking, what do we think is going to happen with the baseball season right now? Like, what's the plan for baseball? We focus a lot on what the NBA's plan is. What's the plan for baseball? And listen, baseball was going to start earlier this year than they ever did, just their luck, of course.
Yeah.
So they were going to start March 26th. Obviously, that's not happening. They're not going to be playing in May. That's not happening.
They're not playing in June.
And then even June, like, look, the NBA's thinking early July. The NHL's thinking July if they're lucky. Best case scenario, July is the new sort of sports landscape, which would cut the baseball season in half. And I read an interesting article about this from sort of a data standpoint, Cam. Very, very fascinating, and something we can put to the test here right now, because the numbers are still up right now. Up on you know, division totals, division win totals, division futures, but specifically divisions. So, guys, they can't play a 162 game schedule this year. That's a fact. I don't care who you are, you ain't playing 162 games. Then, okay, they have a contingency plan. Are we going to play 100 games? Okay, that's 2 months that they lose. April and May, that's a little bit too optimistic. You're not only going to miss 2 months, guys, you're missing 3 months. All right, and this is best case scenario. So let's say they miss 3 months. They have a plan. It's going to be 81 games. It's 81 games, Cam.
Love it.
It's half a season. And this is what's fascinating about this. And guys, this is where the betting comes into point here, into play here, is 81 games changes everything. 162 game schedule, the Los Angeles Dodgers have a 98% chance of making the playoffs this year. They're stacked. Their division's not great. They're really stacked, the Dodgers. 98% chance that the Dodgers make the playoffs this year under a normal circumstance of, and I can't, it's high, 98%, but in an 81-game schedule, Cam, it falls all the way to 70%.
Yep.
They only have a 70% chance. How about this? The Kansas City Royals have a 0.2% chance to win the World Series if we played a full season and we just started as normal with these rosters as is, all right? You played 81 game season, the Kansas City Royals' chances of winning a World Series become 14%.
So you're telling me it goes up 14%. So that's a great scenario. What happens too? Water always finds its level. So teams like the Dodgers, the Yankees, all the teams with pedigree, bad news for them.
But think about it, Kev. Yeah, you're the Dodgers and the Yankees. Think if you're the Yankees. Stanton's always hurt.
Yep.
Strikes out all the time. Judge started off slow last. You know what I mean? Someone starts off slow for a month. Season's only 3 months. One bad month. Hey, next thing you know, you're six games back. Yep. Yeah, we're six games back in the Baltimore Orioles. How is this possible? Well, it's a short season, and I don't know. These kids got hot. So, guys, the percentages, if you're a big-time team, and like you're the Yankees and you just brought in Gerrit Cole, this is a nightmare for you. Because your chances, you're not, like, over the length of time, that's how you win, right? Like, the better teams wear teams down with the depth and the talent that they have. In a shortened span, suddenly teams like the Toronto Blue Jays, 38-1, 38-1 to win the American League East. They play 81 games, dude. Let's say Guerrero gets hot and it's just crushing balls out of the gate.
Yep.
Bichette's crushing balls out of the gate. They brought in Maeda. They got some pitching now. They got a couple other bad pitchers.
Your boy, Ryu from the Dodgers.
Yeah, Ryu, excuse me, exactly. So they've got some guys. I'm not saying, listen, 162 games, the Blue Jays aren't winning a division. 81 games, suddenly they're in the mix. You play 81 games, suddenly a team like the Chicago White Sox is in the mix.
Yeah. Want to hear what I just did, Gabe? As you were talking, I bet the Toronto Blue Jays $40 at 60 to 1 to win the East.
Wow.
60-1.
60-1.
Yeah, and I got the Chicago White Sox at plus 4.
Found some no gouging there. There's some real value.
That's called searching into the deep waters with Cam. Yeah, I went snorkeling, buddy. Put on your scuba gear. Get under. I'm telling you, 60-1.
And I guarantee you guys, this is another one, too. This is this bet, and good job, Cam, getting it in now, because you're going to have to show patience because we're months and months and months away. But the thing is, guys, you bet these big numbers right now. And me and Cam aren't saying, don't get stupid and take. Don't say, the Detroit Tigers. The Tigers aren't winning. Those younger teams that are sort of pretty good that are coming up right now. You know who would be really dangerous in 81 games? The Mets, bro.
I agree.
Syndergaard, Stroman, DeGrom, Alonso.
What do you think
of Conforto and these guys?
Let's take a look at
81 games. That pitching, that'd be a bitch to deal with, bro.
What do you think their odds are to win the East? Because it's a pretty tight division. You're probably not. Mets, I'm only getting plus 250. That's
The odds makers are on to the Mets. They're good. The Mets are going to be good, guys. They're going to be good.
Look, they got in the National East, they got Braves plus 170, Nationals plus 200, Mets plus 225, Phillies plus 325, Marlins 100-1. Exactly what you said. These books are not dumb. They know the Mets are the real deal and can win that division. And with the home run hitters and pitching staff, as you talk about, before their arms get tired, that's a very dangerous team in a shortened season. Half the season, I love it.
And let's look for value here. So we talk about the Blue Jays. Great, you found some great value there at 60-1. The American League Central, the Twins are favored, minus 175. The Indians, good odds at plus 310 in an 81-game season. The White Sox are a sneaky team, guys. Cam's been a White Sox backer for 2-1 good guys. I know what all this analytics is. Analytics, I wouldn't wipe my ass with analytics. Toilet paper, that's what that is. I'm Hawk Harrelson.
I'll tell you something about Joe West. He's always hated the White Sox. I love when he rips on umpires, too.
Yeah, you know what I like is a bet in a shortened season, 81 games, the Angels, plus 650.
I just took them, too.
Same thing. Like Mike Trout gets hurt, but if he stays healthy for 81 games, you got Rendon in there right now, Ohtani, Rendon, Mike Trout. Their pitching isn't great, but 81 games, plus 650. Guys, a half a season changes everything.
The problem is, no one's beating the Dodgers even with an 81-game season. The second best bet on the border is Arizona. It's like 10-1.
Dodgers are going to go like 62-18 or something like that.
Listen to the Dodgers' odds to win the division. What do you think it is? Like just them to win.
I'm seeing at FanDuel 10-1 minus.
Yeah. I got minus 850. That's as low as it's gone. In my other book, it's minus 900. So
the best future baseball bets. Like I said, guys, we're giving you stuff that nobody else is. See, I think ahead. I don't want to give you like bad content here. So the numbers are going to change. I put it this way. I guarantee you that in 3 months, when baseball comes back, the Blue Jays aren't going to be 60-38-1 anymore. The odds makers are going to go, no, that was then. Now it's 17-1. You're getting your bet in now. You got to put the ticket in your drawer for like the next 7 months. That's why you're getting this big fat value right now. All right. So somebody asked, what's going to happen to the NHL season? Interesting. Gary Bettman said the other night, where I think it was a telltale sign, they still have time.
They do.
Bettman says, we're not in a panic. He said, we can play through the summer.
They can.
Okay. But then he brought up, he said, but we can't put ourselves in a situation where it affects next year.
Yeah. Bill right? Daly, like, yeah. The story broke today, Gabe. Daly basically said the same thing. He goes, everything we're going to do, we can't risk with next year. We got a timeline. Basically, you wrap it up in the summer, short training camp for like a month, and boom, they're right back at it again. And you know hockey guys. They'll have a couple keg parties, bang some chicks at the cottage, and go right back into
For them, it's like, instead of a month in Muskoka, 2 weeks, all right?
Exactly. Yeah. You're still living the high life. You got your boat in Muskoka, you're partying. Yeah, it's like, okay, shorter party. They'll be right back at it. I think hockey will be able to figure it out. It's going to be interesting, though.
How about this, though, Cam? Yep. And hockey, NBA is different. NBA playoffs, the better teams smash people. Like, they go through it fast, and, like, they can do it fast in the NBA. They'd have to play. They can't stretch the games every 4 days, and that'll be cool. Like, you brought it up last week. They're going to have to play every 2 days in the NBA now. But I think, Cam, we should shorten it to best of fives. How cool would that be?
Like the old
days. Exactly. It's best of five series.
Like that's the way it was.
Definitely the first round's best of five. Like I can live with the rest, but
no, first round. First only first round.
First round, NBA, NHL, and especially NHL. Because NHL, man, every damn series goes seven games in the NHL in the first round. You're gonna be there forever, bro. Like you don't have time. If I was hockey, I'd say, listen, we don't have time. You guys all go seven games all the time. We're going five games in the first series. I could even live with five games through the playoffs until seven in the finals.
No, I'll do. I agree with your first thing. I think for the first round you could do five. Then you got to go to the old system. And hockey's different too. What about those overtime games that go into 3 o'clock in the morning and stuff like that? You got to do it in the first round. You might be right. Maybe even the second round. Like I don't know, man. You might be onto something here. They got to speed it up.
All right, NFL Diamonds asks. I think it's NFL Diamonds. I want to get it right. We got a lot of them coming in. He said, hey, guys, is the NFL season going to be fine next year?
I think so.
Yes and no. But how about this, Ken? Something that here's another thing we're going to bring to the table I don't think anyone else has brought up. They halted construction of the stadiums.
Yeah, that's right. Excellent point. Like Vegas?
Vegas, California, they're not allowed working. Like, they're not allowed because there's too many construction workers in one place. They're not allowed. The construction stopped in both Los Angeles, the new stadium, and Vegas, the new stadium.
So they got to play in college stadiums.
It's a nightmare for them. They've already been through this forever, right? Yeah. No. You know, we're getting ahead of ourselves. It's the NFL. They'd get an emergency work order. They'd say, listen, our guys wear a mask. Thing is, they're all touching metal poles, and you know what I mean? It's very dangerous. And it was interesting because I saw last night in Los Angeles, they shut it down and it popped up. They said, what about the stadium? And they said, no crew allowed. You're not allowed working on a stadium anymore. So that'll be interesting to see, but I don't anticipate, I think these sort of national shutdowns and lockdowns and stuff are going, I think it's going to be about 30 days of this. So I think that the construction will be fine. That's just an angle we're bringing up. All right, so we got a long question from Jesse, and a real good one about like sports memories and what are, you know, bucket list sports and stuff. But it is March Madness right now, or would be into the second day of the tournament. And I see a lot of people talking about March Madness and their greatest memories. And that's the beautiful thing about March Madness. You have great memories of that tournament, even if you're not a fan of a school.
Exactly.
Like, I have great memories of watching UNLV. Like, I get smiles and chills. Like, oh, that was great times watching UNLV and betting on the Rebels winning. Like, my Michigan Wolverines winning the tournament in 89 is my favorite memory. You and me and the crew in Vegas when Michigan won at the buzzer against Houston. We won all that money and then got on the plane 10 minutes later after the fact. Some great memories with NCAA. But my favorite memory is my favorite player, Glenn Rice, who still to this day holds the record for most points in the NCAA tournament. He went off for Michigan in 1989, and Michigan beat Seton Hall in overtime. Ramil Robinson hit a free throw to win the game. It was real crazy and dramatic. That's my best memory, but I got some great ones. But what do you remember most about March Madness besides us partying in Vegas?
Yeah, us partying in Vegas. One good
great
one.
Times.
Yeah, oh, yeah. No, I've had some great NCAA memories, like when Maryland won. I won a lot of money.
Oh, remember, you had Virginia last year. You've been good at the tournament.
Remember Juan Dixon, Gabe? Blast from the past. Juan Dixon, great college player, never amounted to anything else. He took the Terps on his back, won a lot of money that year. My favorite, though, an individual game was, I don't know what it is. I don't like Kentucky. It's just one of those schools that, you know, I'm just not down with. I never cheer for them. And that's how I fell in love with the UAB Blazers as 22-point dogs, outright win. Magical Cinderella stories, VCU's run, and last year cashing the Virginia ticket, which was pure luck. They could have got knocked out in every single game. Lucky against Oregon, lucky against Auburn, and got it done against Texas Tech.
Yeah, that's amazing. Fine line between winning and losing, man. It really goes to show. And honestly, if you look, last year the teams that won both basketball tournaments, both basketball champions, the Virginia Cavaliers and the Toronto Raptors, the Raptors won pretty convincingly, except for the Philadelphia series. Like, dude, they blew a lead. People forget that. It was game seven. It's in Toronto. The Raptors were up by like seven with 4 minutes left. Then it was four. Then it was two. Then it was one. Then it was like they were down. Then it was like they was tied. And it was bad. And I'm a, you know, I love the Raptors. They probably would have lost, Cam, in overtime. Like, the Sixers were coming on, man.
Yeah, they were.
Like, they were coming on. Jimmy Butler was coming on at the end of that game. And Kawhi takes that shot. The ball, doof. It bounces, and it goes in. And right after that, the Raptors cruise. They beat the Bucks in six. They beat the Warriors in six.
I don't tweet very often, but I remember Jimmy Butler came out with that story. Oh, we would have definitely beat the Raptors if we went to overtime. I go, who effing cares? You didn't go to overtime.
You did it.
That's nice. I go, well, what's the – I love people with their story.
Kawhi wasn't losing. The Raptors would have won.
They could have won. Well, you didn't get – like what? That's why I don't put stories in my updates or this team was close to getting that guy. I hate that. You didn't get him.
We would have won if Norwood would have made the field goal. Yeah, well, you did it.
Exactly. It's so pointless. Like, ooh, we would have won. No, you know, come on. Anyway.
We got to get out of here, unfortunately. Great time. We hope you're enjoying the content. It's not easy to do. Trust us. Me and Cameron playing producer. We'll see you guys on Monday. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
All right. This one did record, though, again.
That's good.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.